Golf Smarter number 402, published on September 17, 2013, is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, and there are choices, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter and by the all-new golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
The secret to transforming your game with Fred Shoemaker of Extraordinary Golf.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to Golf Smarter, Fred.
Hey, hello, Fred.
It is great to have you back on the show. It's been a long time since we've spoken.
Not that long, but it's nice to be here again.
Well, in the weekly world of podcasting, it's been way too long because I do receive emails from Golf Smarter community and from your community asking when you're going to be back. So I'm really happy to have you back.
Terrific. Let's have some fun today.
Okay. So in preparation to do this, I spent the weekend, because I was traveling this weekend, I went back to read Extraordinary Golf, The Art of the Possible, which is not dated at all, but clearly you wrote it a while ago. And there's ways you talk about things that seems like it's been a while.
Yes, I think the basic principles are the same, but we've all evolved.
Absolutely. Basic principles are very clear and succinct. No question. And I was amazed in reading it again and so happy that I was reading it again, because I would come up to lines that I highlighted in the book that I went, I wouldn't highlight that this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was other things that were leading up to it that were much more profound for me. And hopefully it's because I've evolved somewhat, but more so that I've evolved as a golfer and have a greater awareness
about
what is going on as I'm playing golf, as I'm swinging my golf club, as I'm walking the golf course. And so it is so much of what Extraordinary Golf is awareness. And I'm just so happy to know that after years of having the mindset from the book, that it truly works, and it is part of my golfing life.
Well, maybe it's the only thing that does work. Just being present here now, whether it's with your swing or whether you're in a communication with your friends, being out on the golf course. You know, people have said now for 40 years, basically, that I'm much happier when I'm present, when I'm here. Mm-hmm. And when I'm in my head, it's a very different world. So that you're saying that, I think it's great. Well done.
Oh, thank you. But after reading it for the weekend, I came home from my trip and told my wife, look, I go to bed early. I want to see some of the DVD, the new DVD called Extraordinary Golf, The Secret to Transforming Your Game, which I understand it's a golf instructional DVD. I would call it The Secret to Transforming You.
Hmm. Well, I'm happy you got that out of it, but I don't think you can separate you from your golf game. If you're going to transform something, good idea to start with yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I loved about the DVD, beyond the production value, which it's really a beautifully produced video. The quality of the production is first rate. It's not some guy standing, you know, setting up a tripod and standing in front of it 20 feet away and you can barely hear him. You had a very, very professional movie-making team. At least
it was a good, yes, it was a terrific team.
Yeah. But watching the DVD, I got so much more than I did from the book.
Mm-hmm.
Watching you work with people, watching, you know, because you do it, you work with one person and it goes back and forth with you working with one person and then and then working with a group.
Mm-hmm. We wanted to give an honest appraisal of how learning takes place. Because most of the time when you see things, somebody says, well, I just changed my grip and everything worked out fine. No, it doesn't. There is not getting it is part of getting it. And we wanted to take a look at how we did that with an individual and how we did it with a group. And there's nothing there. There's no editing. in terms of let's try it again, let's do a different cut, let's get a better one. This is let's turn on the cameras and give a real sense of how learning takes place. And that's what we wanted to do.
Well, not getting it is getting it is exactly what struck me, because the multiple times that we've had conversations, you would ask me a question and I'd answer it and I'd feel kind of stupid. I think I get it. I kind of understand, right? And yes. It was so nice to see other people's faces. Not saying that they didn't get it, but it's like, oh, okay, they kind of feel stupid saying yes, they get it, but you can see their heads spinning like, I need to process this more before I answer you.
Well, if that question's any good, it's going to take a little bit of thinking and looking and experiencing to make a difference. We're so used to the first ready-made answer to pop out. Rather than, let's say, let me look at this for a while, let me run it through my experience and come out with my own answer. And that, the answer of that, or the experience that makes a difference, not the teacher's answer.
Right, right. It's not like the teacher... And that's what's so beautiful about this. It's not like you ask a question looking for a specific answer. There's no right or wrong answer. You want honesty. You want the person to really think about what's going on with them, and it's going to be very different than the other person.
Yes, yes. Some of the most important things in life, we don't learn in school. I mean, we don't learn about how to be present and getting out of our head in first grade. We don't learn about self-trust in second grade, or being able to deal with fear and doubt, or how to honor a commitment in grammar school. These are the most important things, and they need to be looked at and worked with, and have a person come out the other side with a greater capacity than when they started with. And that's what we're looking at in the video.
For those in the audience who are hearing your name and you speak for the first time, can you give a summation of, I don't know if I want to ask for the summation of Extraordinary Golf or the DVD.
Well, I've done approximately 42,000 individual lessons at about 1,100 golf schools. And I haven't got a lot of conclusions, but I have some tentative conclusions. First, awareness, which is the simple act of being present, is maybe the only thing that cures, heals, develops people. Like I said in probably another podcast, Fred, that the difference between you and I when we play is that I experience more of where the club is during swinging than you do. I probably have a greater sense of my body and what makes a difference by the experience of solid contact. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is that human beings are unique and in many ways already whole and complete. And instead of trying to fit them into some preconceived motion or the swing du jour, having people discover what they already have. See, if a golf school works really great, after 3 days, people come out being themselves and seeing how terrific that is, with their awareness highly heightened. Another thing about it, I would say, about the DVD Extraordinary Golf, is how people's actions and behavior are shaped by their point of view. Most people, if you just a simple way of seeing this, is the ball's not the target. The target's out there. And when your actions and behavior are related to that, it's a very different game than please let me hit the ball or survival. And then the last thing, we intended on the video to show an environment without evaluation or judgment in which rapid, complete learning could take place. In my experience, that's the only environment learning can take place. So how can we, as both student and coach, learn to let go of a judgment when it arises and come back to the task at hand? Rather than that was good and that was bad and that was better and give me another one of those, to actually begin to create a space in which a person can be more present to the experience that's happening. And it's the experience that teaches them, not the teacher. I mean, I know we've talked about this before, but if you had to learn to ride a bicycle, we could go to the dictionary and study balance. It wouldn't help you. Your buddy could talk to you about balance. That wouldn't help you. But getting on the bike, and actually the distinction balance comes all in one moment. You just get it. And when you get it, it's yours. And we're saying that maybe golf is like that. Maybe the great distinctions of where's the club face, swing plane, solid contact, alignment, and letting go and freedom maybe those can only be discovered and can't be taught. And we're creating an environment in which that could happen. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Yeah. In the book, you had this one little analogy in there. As a parent, I've always felt like you really cannot teach your children from your experience. And that people seem to, I get frustrated watching people saying, well, I did it this way, so that's how it's supposed to be done, you know.
Yes.
And yet, as you point out in the book, we don't teach a child how to walk. They have to learn how to do it themselves. They have to fall down. They have to understand balance innately before they can start walking.
Yes.
But it seems like from that moment on, after they're walking, we're telling them how to do everything. We don't let them experience it themselves.
Well, think of all the things we learned early in life, you know, speech and balance and socialization skills and 100 other things that we learned before the age of concepts and information began to be dominant, usually before the age of 5. Those are usually the things that we're best at in life. And after that point, understanding concepts and information come higher up in our hierarchy, and the experience goes down. Mm. And I've just noticed throughout all these years that people learn best from their experience, and they learn best by struggling and not getting it. In other words, it takes a while to get something, but unless you can go through the struggle, and when you do and complete it, it's yours at that point. I mean, all development, I wouldn't necessarily call it a struggle. I would maybe call it more than once. A lot of people try something in the driving range. After 2 or 3 shots, it doesn't work. We'll go on to something else. Rather than saying, can you stay until it gets done? See, it would be like this. I've noticed that very few people ever complete solid impact. Solid hitting of a golf ball. And if you don't get that, it's difficult to go on to the next place. It would be like if I was to play tennis and hit the ball all over the metal of the racket, and the tennis teacher would say, hey, let's go on to court management. I would say, that's pretty early to do that. I need to learn to hit the ball first. Now, Fred, if you knew without a doubt you were going to hit a ball solidly, let's say a 50-yard shot, okay, you got to imagine that.
Yep.
If you knew you were going to hit it solidly, what would you pay attention to during the swing and before the swing? You're sure you're going to hit it solidly. What would you pay attention to?
I would avoid the voices in the head going, you know you hate a 50-yard shot.
Okay, but you know you're going to hit it solidly.
But I know I'm going to, so I'm walking up with total confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you pay attention to?
I would pay attention probably, here we go again with like feeling stupid about these answers, about the target.
Yeah, me too. And if you find that you're not paying attention to the target, having a relationship with it, then you can be sure you never completed solid hit. Mm-hmm. And your body's saying to you, nope, I'm sorry, you got to get this done first before you go out there. And there's a point in people's golf games when they really kind of get golf that solid hit becomes something that you take for granted. In other words, it doesn't concern you. And I'm not talking about this perfectionist thing. The ball goes about the height you want and about the distance you want, and there's no doubt it's going to happen. Now, even if you do hit one fat, there's no concern on the next one. Now, when you get that, the whole world of golf changes as it will never change again. What becomes available is creativity, the capacity to sense shots when you feel them in your body, the ability to step on a tee and really play the game, the golf course the architect asked for. And you get a sense you can hit shots. And one of the things we're looking at least in the DVD, is how does a person get to the point where they can complete this? So it gets done. I mean, imagine you're walking and you're never sure you were going to be on balance. Or you drove a car and you're never sure it was going to stay on the road. It would be a scary endeavor. And I think golf for most people is like that. It's mostly at survival stage of please let me hit the ball and don't look silly.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever read any of there was something in psychology in college called Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. And it was a little pyramid. They said at the base of human being, there's air, food, water, and shelter. And after that, you can get to creativity and community and all these other things. But if you haven't got that, there's nowhere else to go. And in golf, that baseline, before there's nowhere else to go, is to complete solid hit. And when you get that, all these other things are available to you. And I think of the fundamental, I used to think it was letting go and freedom. I thought if people could get that, boy, golf would really take off. But I've noticed in the last decade, the thing that people really ask for and concern about and talk to each other about and have all these nice comments about are a solid shot. So if it is such a concern for us, and in fact almost like a need, if you will, let's get it done. Go on to the next thing. That's much more interesting. So anyway, that was a long discourse on how different I'm seeing golf now than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah. I don't worry about long. I'm good with long.
Okay.
Why is it? You know, I mean, we know that experience is the best teacher. And as a solopreneur, failure is critical to my success. Because
yes.
I learn nothing, especially on the golf course, but I learn nothing from doing things right, because then I'm just repeating what I've tried to do. I did right.
If you're not failing, you're not stretching yourself.
Right. And the golfer and on the golf course just cannot handle even, you know, failure could be missing a putt from 4 feet, which is not failure.
Well, I said to a friend of mine, one of our coaches about 20 years ago, I said, I think you'll become a golfer when learning is more important to you than the outcome of a shot. And he took this on. And he could say honestly, some years later, that it actually transformed in him. See, we get so hooked on outcomes at every moment that we give ourselves very little space in which to learn and develop ourselves. And it's, you know, if you watch TV in a golf telecast, you have, you know, 2 or 3 hours in which that's all you hear about. Good shot, bad shot, winning, losing, right, wrong, who's good, who's not, what this will mean to his legacy, etc. It's all about outcomes. You don't get a two-hour discourse on the fascination of learning, on the joy of learning. And when you can be over a shot, like if I step to the first tee, it's pretty much like this. Okay, you know, I do a golf school, I step there, everybody says, oh, there's old what's-his-name. Watch him hit it. Okay? So I step up. And my mind says, almost always, if you mishit it, it'll invalidate the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you for sharing, because it says that forever. It's not a big deal. But I can actually choose. I could say, listen, wherever this ball goes, it may go straight, it may not go straight, but I'm going to sure darn well feel what it does. I'm going to experience what happens, and I'm going to learn from this shot, and this shot's going to make a difference on the next one. And I've noticed when I am that way, there's no pressure at all. And I'm really into the shot. And I find I just love that now. I love the first tee.
Hmm. And that will impact your success. And
of course it does.
And I'm sorry if I use the word success.
No. Why is it after 100 years in this game, we haven't figured out fully that being present is the access to success? Getting out of your head and the future and past outcomes that we're in these scenarios all the time. Just being there. Feeling the club, sensing your body, being with the target, whatever you choose. To me, that's the only way I've ever accessed great performance. And yet my mind, like everybody else's mind, has concerns about outcomes and how I'll look and what people will say and the whole story is the whole bit like every other human being. And that's automatic. It's just going to happen. Now the question is, can I observe it happening? Oh, my mind just said, don't hit it right. Let it alone. And come back to the task at hand. See, that's what you train a tournament player to do. I was doing that later this afternoon. The fellow is going to be trying for tour school. To be able to let go of an irrelevant thought, you observe it, let it alone, and come back to the task at hand. That's called coming back. And that's what great tournament players have to do. Most people get lost in these, you know, I'm 3 over for 4, and if I can par the next 6, I'll shoot 39, and all away you go this way.
Kiss of death.
Yes, and we don't even know that we're gone in some sort of scenario, story. Coming back is quite a remarkable thing. It's a talent. It's talent to be nurtured and developed.
To get rid of those sound, those voices in your head, to get rid of that noise, to accept it, say, yes, it's there, and as opposed to fighting it.
Yes. I mean, I don't know of anyone who ever got rid of it. I mean, I imagine that, take anyone. I mean, Martin Luther King, when he was, you know, marching into, you know, to Selma over that bridge, he didn't say, oh, boy, this is going to be fun. That's not what his voice said.
Right.
He had a lot of things going on, but his commitment was bigger than that. And that's the same thing. It's like my voice is pretty much the same thing since I'm a kid. It says, you know, don't look bad here. And I'd like to be able to perform in front of people, etc. So it's not going to change its scenario. It's like the comedian with the same jokes, you know, year after year. What I've been able to do more of is to recognize, oh, it just said that. And then have a commitment to me which is bigger than that. People rise above something when they're committed to something that's greater than just this internal chatter. And that's something that also can be coached. I don't see how people play in tournaments very well without that.
Mm-hmm.
Or even with your friends. I mean,
yeah, you hear, right. Yeah. Which could be even worse sometimes.
Yes.
I need to break for a moment here for our sponsor, but I think that it's going to lead in beautifully to what we're talking about. This episode of the Golf Smarter Podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. Audible would like to provide the Golf Smarter community an opportunity to try an audiobook for free. And you can choose from their enormous library. One audiobook that we would like to consider is something that I'm going to ask Fred for. Are you an audiobook person? Do you ever get to listen to audiobooks?
I do. Yes, I do.
Oh, you do? And do you enjoy that?
Yeah, it's wonderful, especially on planes.
Yeah, exactly. Is that how you use them when you can't hold on to a book, you're in movement, but you still want to...
When I take a plane, long drive, take a walk. Mm. It's always good.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything recently that you've listened to or read, I guess, that you'd like to recommend?
Well, Talent is Overrated by Jeff Colvin.
Mm.
It's a terrific book, especially for golfers, to take a look at how people actually develop themselves and what that takes. What is deep practice? And how to have a practice session that when you're at the end of it, you feel deeply satisfied with. So that one, yeah.
Yeah, that is great. It's called Talent is Overrated, What Really Separates World-Class Performers from Everybody Else. And I'm not so sure that there's that gap is that big, right, between those two.
there's something about deliberate practice
that
I see very few people engage in. If you watch people get a bucket of balls, they'll go and they'll hit a few wedges and work their way through the bag and come back out. Rarely you see a person practice in such a way that would make a huge difference.
Mm.
And that's almost too big to go into at this point.
Especially during commercial for Audible.
Yes. Yes. So we'll save that one for another time.
Well, there it is. You can download any audiobook that you'd like. But this week we're recommending Talent is Overrated by Jeff Colvin, narrated by David Drummer. And if you'd like that to be your free audiobook, all you have to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. Audible is AUDIBLE, audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. Okay, now we can get into it.
Okay, good.
of what that means, that separation there from the haves, the have-nots, from the success and those who think they're not succeeding.
Yes. Fred, I'd like to, if I could, talk a little time about my passion, and that's how do people change their actions? I've been looking at it now for about 40 years. And, you know, have you ever tried to change people?
Well, other than my children, no, but I know how much luck I had with that.
Yes. So it's pretty clear that people don't change because you tell them to.
Right.
Give them an instruction. Put the club here, do that. You know, get out of your head, etc. They don't change because we give them a doing instruction. So I did that for probably a decade. And people got a little better, a little worse in the game, probably didn't have that much more enjoyment. So that was kind of like not a total flop, but reasonably floppy. Then I had a chance to take a look at a type of instruction called an awareness instruction. And this fellow, Tim Galway, was a great pioneer in this. And he said, just be pay attention while you're doing this. Can you be present to what you're doing? Which was great. Made a lot of difference, huge differences. But in terms of actually transforming a person's relationship in the game and really making it such that they're almost like a new person coming out, it didn't happen there. So I'd like to take a look in a very, I'm going to do this quickly. Why do people change? What really is the source of it? How do actions change? So I'll give you the tentative look at this at this point. People's actions are always related to how the world occurs for them. It's like this. If you were coming to a parking lot and there was one space left and a kid with a red Camaro cut you off, how would he occur for you?
How would he occur?
Yeah. He cut you off and took your parking place.
So not my react. I'm not sure. I mean, understand what you mean by how would he occur?
Well, how would this situation occur? How would this person seem to you who has just taken your parking place?
That they were being overly aggressive and unkind.
Yes. So you would probably act to that related to that with that person.
Yeah,
you would
react.
See them and be a little standoffish. Yes.
Yeah.
But no, I told you this person is bringing insulin to his mother who's in the kitchen. Working there, and she's having a diabetic time.
Yeah.
So there is ways of seeing the world that empower us and ways that don't, and it's completely malleable. In a golf school, you send a person out for an exercise, and they say, yeah, they hit 10 balls, and they come back and say, how was that? And the guy goes, you know, I sucked. I couldn't hit them.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, can I be you for a second? He goes, sure. He goes, okay, I'm Jim, and I hit 10 balls, and I made up a decision that I sucked. I lost energy and went into resignation. Is that true? He goes, yeah. And I go, can I be you again? He goes, okay. Hi, I'm Jim. I hit 10 balls, and I could see this is the very thing I came for. I feel if I could get through this, I could really make a jump in my golf game. And I find this incredibly challenging but worthwhile. Same 10 shots, different kind.
And different approach, absolutely.
So I think one of the ways, see, what I see people who really develop in this game, they begin to use a way of speaking, internal language, external language, body language, written language, imagery is language, in such a way that their interpretation of the events that happen empower them in life and forward the action. And those usually five different interpretations, unless you get this, human beings will take the most disempowering and call it reality, like I suck. Not like I did the best I could. So I guess one way to if we're going to take time today, is I've got really a sense that an amazing power of language, in the language that human beings have both internally and externally, and how it shapes and creates the world. Literally speaking differently alters the chemistry and body, and neuroscience is proving this to be exactly true right now. And when a person can really that their interpretation of the world is not the only interpretation of the world. And the certainty you have about the way the world is may be the prison that actually holds you to have that kind of blind certainty. And there are different ways of seeing things and different ways of looking at things. And there are ways that you can choose to make your life work. And that to me was pretty much a 40-year process to realize that the greatest instruction of all is to begin to examine the person and myself with them, how the world occurs to them and how they occur for them. Find all the other things come from golf, awareness, solid contact, all that other stuff becomes a lot easier when the person sees way.
Yeah. And that was part of my joy of watching the DVD. And I just want to apologize to the audience. I know that the Skype connection here is a little bit rough, but we are getting the essence of what Fred's saying. But the thing that I was so excited about watching the DVD that connected for me was when you were working with Michael Tucker, who I thought that was very fun to work with somebody who we kind of recognize, but you can see he's like the everyman golfer.
Yes, yes.
And he allowed himself to be, I guess the word would be exposed this way, that his ego was out of the way of this, is the awareness part of when he became aware, where, you know, we so often ourselves are seeing somebody on the course who are trying to make corrections with their swing during a round, which is even worse, But if you ask them, what did they experience? Have you, you know, if they say, oh, well, I'm not coming through on it all the way. It was like, well, what does that feel like? What is that experience? And they can't explain it.
Well, they probably don't even experience it. They usually say because the ball did something or their buddy
right.
told them.
Right.
And when it was a real joy to watch Michael actually experience what's going on and be able to be more of his own coach than he ever was. Mm. That's the high point of a coach, when somebody else can be their own coach. That's the purpose of it.
And that's what I think was so valuable, for me on the DVD, and someday I would love to participate in the school, is that other schools that I've seen, I've heard, I've participated in, you walk away from the school and you want to call them and follow up. What did I do this again? You know, why isn't this working anymore? But mm-hmm. that's not the sense I get that you walk away from Extraordinary Golf from.
No, the capacity to coach yourself is what most people ask for, because you're with yourself, you know, we're with you all most of the time. And if you could be a person who, when you miss hit a shot, to actually experience how you do it, it's far less, you know, upsetting than if you miss hit a shot and you have no idea what goes on, but you make up catchphrases like, I was too quick and I came over the top.
Lifted my head. Always. That's my favorite.
It covers all sins.
Yeah, right.
Without a clue what's going on.
Exactly.
And most often, that the lifting of the head is a brilliant solution so the person doesn't bury the club 4 inches in the ground. Mm. So most often, even the things that we sometimes feel are solutions to problems that come earlier, and we have to bring our attention to earlier and earlier in the swing to find out what's actually going on.
And not to get into the mechanics, because that's not what it's about, but visually getting the opportunity to see, you know, hear your explanation of about the base of the swing, you know, that it's a circle and the bottom point of the circle, where does that land? Mm-hmm. That was an epiphany. Yeah.
Yes. Is to change mechanics by awareness.
Right.
So if someone said, are you a mechanical school? Absolutely. But we don't go about the mechanics by trying to, you know, get this whole conceptual informational thing, but by experience. You mechanically have a good walk. You mechanically can drive a car well, but you didn't learn it that way. You learned it by trusting the experience and falling sometimes.
Yeah. Reading the book, watching the video, talking to you, it is so exciting for me, because this is the kind of approach that I love about golf, is that I'm walking away with it, not with the terms, you know, loosen the grip, relax the shoulders, follow through, make sure that I get a full... I'm not walking away with those terms. I'm walking away with perspective, awareness, presence, mm-hmm. experience, yeah. joy. Golf,
after a golf lesson, golf should be simpler and less in your head than before a lesson.
Hear, hear. Did the golf industry hate you? And I just can imagine all these teachers want to teach these things that you're not teaching, and then you're kind of making them obsolete if people follow and understand this concept.
No, I think everybody's doing the best they can, every teacher.
And every parent.
And what happens, people have certain experiences in life that shape them and change them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you've seen beyond the billboard at the edge of town, you can't go back again. I really got that. Really, this isn't conceptual, but awareness itself is what really makes a difference with people. And my job is not to put a person in their head through a golf lesson, but to have them have a greater range of experiences than they've ever had before. A direct experiences in the moment they're happening. And when that happens, of course people learn. How could you not?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're very good at your job, Fred.
Well, we'll see.
No, come on. How many people did you say you've given lessons to?
Lots.
Yeah, tens of thousands.
43,000. Yeah.
Amazing. And the fact that you keep track of that, how do you? No. Well, this is episode number 402, so who am I to speak,
yes,
right?
Yes, right. Yes.
Well, again, I will give all the details about the DVD, because we have the DVD available here at golfsmarter.com. We also have the books available. And I'll give more details later. But again, congratulations on a phenomenal production. And thank you again for sharing your time with us. I always greatly, greatly appreciate it.
Well, thank you for your openness to the conversation. You know, I really appreciate the way you let it go anywhere. And I just really like that sort of thing. So thanks, Fred.
I'm so honored to have the Extraordinary Golf DVD, The Secret to Transforming Your Game, here at golfsmarter.com. Now, other than Fred's site, this video is not easy to find. Even Amazon.com is charging twice as much as we are, and they list it under the wrong name. I hope Fred is aware of that. Of course, I understand that not everyone will buy into the methods of Extraordinary Golf, but I really think it's because they don't get it. I have a family member who lives in Florida. He's been playing golf most of his life. He's a good player, but it amazes me how closed he is to changing the way he thinks on the course. Even when he's struggling, he's stuck in old ways and flat out refuses to be open to these possibilities. What really blows my mind is that even after he's witnessed the transformation in my game since I've been doing this podcast, have become an avid mental game evangelist, and subscribing to a lot of what Fred Shoemaker says, he won't go there. Please, trust me when I say that the first time you experience the DVD, and don't consume it all at once, your eyes will be open to new possibilities in your game. As we frequently talk about here on the Golf Smarter podcast, it's the mindset that will have an immediate and possibly greater long-term effect on improving your game than just mechanics. Again, go right now to golfsmarter.com and pick up a copy of Extraordinary Golf's The Secret to Transforming Your Game DVD. We also have the books in our Golfer's Mart as well. Now, because we are one of the few sites to offer the disc, I'm not allowed to undercut Extraordinary Golf's pricing, which is fine. But I can tell you, Golf Smarter members do receive a discount. Can't say anymore. So this may be the best time to join Golf Smarter for members only. Now I have a favor to ask, and I announced this to the members in the last episode. As transparent as I try to be on the show, I've never mentioned that last October, my wife was a pedestrian in a hit-and-run accident that put her in the hospital for almost a week and out of work for nearly half the year. We're incredibly grateful that it wasn't much worse, and it could have been. Thankfully, she's doing much better now and has gone back to work. Coming up in early October, just a few weeks away, I'll be joining her and the team she's created called the Gratitude Express for the annual Breast Cancer Awareness 7-mile hike up Mount Tamalpais here in Marin County. This year, I'm helping her out and would like to ask you to help me raise $2,500 to her cause. Thanks to those members who've already contributed, but I need your help too. Any amount you can provide would be greatly appreciated. And of course, we're both incredibly grateful for your support. To make a donation, just click on the Breast Cancer Fund button on our homepage. Oh yeah, I can't believe I didn't tell you this. Please check out and let me know your feedback on the all new golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.